that's sort of my motto. My thing that I tell people all the time is that self-love unlocks your power to heal. And your body has the ability to heal itself.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And oh my goodness, as always, it's my pleasure to be with you here on another episode. We have an amazing guest, and I'm telling you, I am needing this right now because I have been on 6 flights in 10 days and a bunch of other types of work and family things. I am just really exhausted. So I'm having a fantastic expert on, my dear friend, Whitney Gordon Mead. She is a speaker, certified life coach, ordained minister, and she's on track to have her doctorate in metaphysics by the end of 2019. Woohoo! Way to go, Whitney. She has 3 decades of experience researching personal growth and how to heal from within. She's had fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and burnout, and healed herself. She's dedicated her life to helping others avoid and recover from burnout. Her strategy to support people reclaim their passion and create the life they desire, because life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. And that's what I always love about Whitney, too. So, Whitney, thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Excuse me, Sharon. Oh, there goes my voice again. Yeah, I've been having a fun day with that, but hopefully it'll hold up for the whole podcast.
That's how sometimes goes. Right before the show, when we came on, I was mentioning to her, couldn't have timed this show any better, about low energy, common sense ways to optimize the energy you have. And I was mentioning to her what I had scheduled myself for and just went through, and then at the end realized, have to start rethinking my scheduling a little bit, because right now it's just a couple of days of, okay, I'm just going to take some quiet time. So let's talk about optimizing our energy. I think that's, well, first let's tell us your story about burnout and what happened to you and how you healed yourself. And then we'll get into this idea of optimizing what energy we have.
Well, first of all, I mean, if you're listening to this, then most likely you have an autoimmune disease. And if you're anything like I was when I struggled with fibromyalgia, you're exhausted most of the time. And I get it. I know how hard it can be. You're running on empty, and you know this can lead to burnout, something that I'm also very familiar with, as it seems like you might be too, as well, Sharon.
Well, let me ask the question, what's the difference between fatigue, low energy, and how would you know burnout versus, I'll just say, like, oh, I'm just so tired, I'm not getting out of bed today.
Well, first of all, burnout is not a short-term thing.
Ah, okay.
That, oh, I'm tired today, so I'm not going to get out of bed, and then the next day you're fine. It's really a matter of you know, scales in terms of you can be tired, and you can be tired for a number of days, and then you can be fine. When you're burnt out, you've got not just the signs of fatigue. You have difficulty sleeping. You get sick more often. You get irritable more easily. You get annoyed.
My hand for that one.
Yeah.
The past couple of days.
Angry. Your anger can just like that. You can get depressed. You can get anxious. So there's a lot more symptoms. And obviously, the more symptoms you have, the greater your level of burnout would be. As a matter of fact, there's actually 16 signs of burnout. So, I mean, I could go on, but you kind of get the idea that it's not just about fatigue.
Well, that's helpful because I think sometimes those words are interchanged and it really makes sense to be able to put them in perspective. And so, because fatigue is common with a lot of autoimmunes. I'm not going to say everyone, but the ones I know about, fatigue is always right up there as one of the top symptoms. And oftentimes, even though I'm fatigued, I still have some excitement, some zest, some wanting to get some things done, even though sometimes I'm having to sort of slog through it. And that's not burnout, right? Do burnout and do I kind of lose?
Burnout's not something that happens overnight.
Okay.
So it can happen over a period of time. For me, the burnout took probably 4 months, 3-4 months to really, for me to start recognizing that it wasn't a good thing, you know, and it actually took even another month or so before it just slammed me, wiped me out. It's interesting because you think that if you sleep for, 5, 6, 7 hours a night, that might be enough to recover from whatever it is that you're doing. But when you're a type A perfectionist like I am, and used to pushing yourself relentlessly, you know, what I found was even 7 hours of sleep a night wasn't enough anymore. It was like I needed 8 hours. And then if I didn't get, you know, if I was getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night, then all of a sudden, you know, I might need 9 hours one night just to recover from, and believe it or not, that's one thing that a lot of people don't know. They think that you can't catch up on sleep. You can catch up on sleep. It just takes time.
So that idea of, well, I'll catch up on Saturday isn't really a very good plan.
Well, the thing is, the thing is to get in touch with how many hours of sleep a night you really do need. Okay. Once you know how many hours of sleep you need, then when you're not sleeping that many hours, there's a difference. Like let me give you an example. You need 7 hours of sleep a night. You're only getting 5, maybe 3 or 4 days in a row, you're only getting 5. So if it's 3 days in a row, you're only getting 5 hours and you should be getting the 7, that's 2 hours a night times the 3 nights. So you're already behind 6 hours of sleep.
Basically, one night of sleep, I'm already behind. One full night of sleep, basically. Wow. Yeah.
So you could catch up on them if you give yourself the time to do it, which most people don't.
Well, you know, I think the problem also with a lot of autoimmunes is disrupted sleep. And I know we're not here to talk specifically about sleep, but I hear a lot, and I'm at the height of my condition. It was a very disrupted sleep. So even if I got my 7 hours of sleep, it wasn't as restful as it could have been. So I think that can also lead to low energy and fatigue and crabbiness if you're waking up every couple of hours trying to get comfortable again.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, that deep sleep, that deep restful sleep can be hard to come by. I suggest to people who are not getting a restful night's sleep that they really do consider getting a sleep study just to check for sleep abnormalities. And then you can address those, whatever those abnormalities happen to be. There can be several different things that are going on. The other piece of it is to get your cortisol levels checked. And, you know, all you need to do is find a good naturopathic doctor or even a doctor of osteopathy or an MD that's trained in functional medicine. And they can do this, what it's called is the adrenal stress index test. They check your adrenal function, and then they can prescribe something to help your cortisol so that it's the right level at the right times.
Now, I just want to point out that cortisol is part of the stress response, and if you have too much of it, that's when they can tell that, oh, he or she is in a lot of stress.
and if your cortisol levels are high at night, you will never sleep well. So that's why it's important to get them checked and then do something about it. I actually take a cortisol manager supplement for that reason, because my cortisol is all out of whack. So it helps me to sleep better.
Mm. And that's one thing I think with the people with the autoimmune, that they should have all of those hormone levels checked with a test, because I think that oftentimes that's part of the fatigue and part of the thing is we're out of sync. It's either too much or too little at the wrong time. So finding the right medical professional to help you rebalance those is critically important.
Absolutely. And one of the other things to have checked is your melatonin levels, because one, and I know this specifically about fibromyalgia because I had it, was that nighttime melatonin levels are lower in fibromyalgia patients than they are in healthy individuals. So as the sun goes down and it gets darker, your body is supposed to produce more melatonin and you should become more tired. And that doesn't happen in some cases. And I think it probably also shows up that way in other autoimmune disorders, conditions.
And also we can talk about the things that also disrupt melatonin is too much screen time, especially at night.
Yeah.
The blue light and all of that, for sure, guys. There's glasses you can get to counteract that, but I still think having a ritual where you stay away from screen time in the late evening so your body can naturally transition between day and night. How many people are checking social media right before they go to bed, in which just changes all the way the brain functions and ready for sleep or not for sleep. So
yeah, I actually set my alarm for like 3 hours, two to three hours before I go to sleep. And I try to not look at screens for that period of time, just to kind of let my body get back into that, the natural flow, so to speak.
Right. Yes. It's very hard. I was at a yoga retreat not too long ago and everything, cell phones, all of that was not available. And I'll tell you, I signed up for it. So I knew what I was getting into. But it was harder than I thought. And I went to myself, wow, even I, who am aware of all of this, I didn't realize how much I just habitually check my phone before bed or, you know, whatever. And I realized, wow, okay. So have to break myself of that little habit.
The good thing is that you probably could get more reading done if you just turned off your computer, right?
Absolutely. But I think that also precludes my e-reader. So I'll have to, you know, going back to the old fashioned books, but I love holding books. I have to tell you, I do have a lot of books because I actually love the physical presence of a book and paper in my hands, which might be showing my age, but that's okay. Let's delve in to, before we have to take our first break, let's delve into some ways that you have found. We've mentioned some tests just surface-wise, especially about sleep, but what are some ways that you found that helped you overcome burnout?
I would have to say that in the past, I was a financial planner. I call it a previous lifetime, but you know, it was this lifetime, a different chapter of my life. And what I realized is that I was an expert at showing my clients how to use budgets to stay out of debt and to save money and have it work for them. And so therefore, I knew that budgeting would help you stay out of debt. And just like budgeting money, I thought, you know, you can also budget energy so you don't end up with a deficit. And then, you know, have to pay for it later, like we talked about with sleep, with interest. You know, the interest being the symptoms of whatever it is, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, you know, any of those. If you don't budget your energy, any of these diseases can, you know, lead to burnout. And the important thing to know, and some people, or I should say a lot of people don't know this, is that everything that you do requires energy. And that includes sleeping, eating, and healing. So energy debt. Yeah. So energy debt will actually present itself as exhaustion, frustration, I mentioned that before, anger, a lack of focus, and any other number of myriad number of symptoms that, you know, could lead to burnout. Also, the energy debt could amplify symptoms that you already have. It could even lead to flare-ups. So in order for your body to apply energy to your healing, there has to be energy left unused by your daily activities. If you all your energy just getting through the day, then your body has nothing left to use for healing.
Great point. I like the idea of budgeting. That's a really nice metaphor and a great visual in my mind to figure that out. One of the things I find and love your thoughts on is people oftentimes have a lot of shoulda, woulda, couldas, and the shouldas override everything, and that's where they use up what little extra in the budget they have, is they feel guilty saying no to, I don't know, I'll just throw out some ideas, you know, the bake sale or whatever, chaperoning something, whatever. And they end up feeling really guilty and use up what little they have left. What are your thoughts on how people can graciously reserve that energy?
The thing I always tell people is that the financial rule of thumb is to pay yourself first. So that's before paying your bills even, or spending your money in any way. So it's important to be conscious of putting some of your energy in savings as you go through the day so you have enough left to be able to heal. And there are tips that I give people to help them optimize that energy. I typically will give 6 tips, but there is another one that is interesting that has to do with learning how to say that word, the word no.
Ah, yes, that scary word no.
That scary word no. And you know what? The thing is, when you say no to someone else, you can say that no with love, okay? And that love is not only for yourself, it's for that other person. Because think about it. If you say yes to somebody and you really don't want to do it, okay? So you really wanted to say no, then you end up resenting them. You end up resenting yourself. You end up feeling, you know, what happens is there ends up being something that gets between you in that relationship. And that's not something you want. You want your relationship to be based on honesty. So if you're going to be honest with somebody, then you can actually say to them something very, very basic, very simple, and just say it with all the love in your heart for you, that person that you're saying it to, and for the relationship. And that is, I'm sorry. Either you can say, I'm sorry, if you're the kind of person who feels that it's, you know, more comfortable saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I just can't do it right now. Or, I wish I could, but it's just not going to work for me right now. And you don't have to give an excuse. You don't have to tell them why. It's not required. And, you know, actually, sometimes it even sounds like you're making up something. But if you just come right out and say, you know, I wish I could, but I just can't do it right now, and you say it with love, people will understand. And you know what? If they don't, you might not want them in your life.
Excellent point. Something, just a little addendum, is if I know of someone else or a different, maybe a service or something like that, that could perform the same function, and I know I'm going to say no, I'm sorry, or that's just not going to work for me right now. However, I did read about such and such, or there's this software that will easily do that, or there's this person I know, I'm happy to recommend them to you. So giving them another option sometimes is an easy way for me to relieve any fact that I might feel like I am being forced, but my mind and my heart and my soul want to say no. And I know how, when you're talking about resentful, not just of the other person, but it almost contaminates the entire event, because I won't say almost, it does contaminate the entire event, not just the relationship, but the actual event, whatever it is that's you're in the process of doing with the other person or the community. And I think we've all seen one or two people before who just grumble the whole time during something, and you're like, wow, that's just sort of spewing toxic waste on our party here. So say no. That's a critical tip. Appreciate that. We're going to say a sudden stop here, take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more from Whitney about continuing to optimize our energy. And I love say no, because a little thought here, you got to value your yes before you know when you're going to say no. So understanding what you give up to say yes. So to someone else, you're giving up something. So we'll continue this budget analogy in just a quick minute. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Whitney Gordon Mead, and she is a speaker certified life coach and an expert in understanding burnout and how to reclaim your passion and zest for life and create the life you desire. And her line that I love so much is, life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. And that is so critical. And Whitney's been sharing with us some tips on, well, first off, what is burnout? What is fatigue and how do we know the difference, as well as we were talking about budgeting energy, just like we budget our family finances. And I love that analogy metaphor. It makes it so crystal clear, almost like a roadmap. So I appreciate that metaphor for us, Whitney, that visual. What are some things we talked about? The value of no. We had to understand the value of no. And I mentioned before we had to take that quick commercial break about oftentimes people don't understand that when you say yes to something, what it's actually costing you, whether it's costing you time with your kids or costing you, you have to work late at work to catch up on something else. People sometimes don't understand the true cost of saying yes.
And that's a great way of putting it. What I normally tell people is when you say yes to someone else for that time, for whatever time it is that takes you to do that thing, you're saying no to yourself. And when you do eventually learn how to say no, you're actually saying yes to yourself. And yes to yourself is an important thing because that will help you to budget your energy.
And I think I know for my own self that when I started learning to graciously and comfortably be okay saying no, not going to work for me in a very loving way. And I think that changes, that loving way changes depending on circumstances. But when I learned to do that, what was fascinating to me was I had an easier time saying no to maybe medical thoughts that I didn't think were going to work for me. You know, just saying no in a variety of ways. Once I learned that skill, I could see how I was using the same skill in other areas, which wasn't really a request for my energy, but maybe I'd been dreading that something that a doctor had said to me, and I finally thinking of all the energy that was zapped just during that dread period until I said, no, I think I'm going to get a second opinion. That doesn't really work for me. And I was thinking of all the energy that drained away in worrying about making that very easy statement of no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a way, it's you're learning, you learn how to set your boundaries in different parts of your life. So by saying no, even, you know, with love, you're setting a boundary. You're saying, okay, I need to put myself first right now. I need to take care of myself, because if I don't take care of myself, number one, nobody else will. Number two, how am I going to be able to take care of anybody else?
Excellent points. Okay. Excellent points. Let's get into this topic of optimizing our energy. What are some tips that you have for starting where we're at and optimizing what energy we have? And I love this idea of how once we do that, we continue to create more energy. So let's talk about optimizing energy.
Well, you know, one of the things that I started realizing is that, you know, when I'm going through my day, it sort of takes on a life of its own. And it just takes off and I just sort of go with it.
That happens.
Yeah. And so what I started to do was schedule into my calendar, because that's what was guiding my day, schedule meal breaks and other breaks. So, and do that beforehand. So whether you're working on a deadline, you know, for a huge project, or whether you just have responsibilities on a regular basis that you just don't, you don't take that time out for yourself, this tip will ensure that you practice that self-care and that you stay connected to your body's needs. And, you know, there are powerful ways to use that break time. You know, not just, you know, you take time for lunch, that's great. Take time for dinner, that's great. But taking breaks, you know, 5-minute break, 10-minute break. You could take a power nap. You could do a stretching break or just go for a walk. You could meditate. They have short meditations, 5-10-minute meditations you could do, guided ones or just your own. You could practice breathing exercises, and all those things will actually help with your health. They all have health benefits. So that's the first tip.
I love that. And I've read, I forget where, but I think it was all over the internet for a while about if you don't take these breaks and you work at a computer all the day, the sitting all day long, especially at a computer, is really harmful to your whole body, and that they were saying you should get up. I think it was every 50 minutes or so, and actually move the body, get the blood flowing again, stretch those muscles out, because the sitting position isn't a position we were meant to be in for hours on end.
No. Yeah. I don't know if we were meant to be in it at all. But
Well, that's true. I'm not sure about the dynamics of that, but I was reading how they were comparing it, like, is sitting the new smoking or something like that. I thought, well, that's a real catchy headline. May not be true, but it certainly caught my attention. And I read the article about how our current work lifestyle about sitting at a computer all day is quite harmful. So I actually set an alarm on my phone to remind me, because I know when I'm busy writing or preparing something for the show, I can forget what time it is. I'll look up and, oh my gosh, 3 hours have passed. And so I set myself a calendar timer reminder. My phone dings and reminds me that I've been sitting for 50 minutes.
Well, that's smart. And actually, I'm glad that you brought that up, because depending on the day, if it's a day that I'm looking at my schedule because I've got appointments, then I just put it in my calendar. But if it's a day where I'm doing writing, or something where I'm not necessarily looking at my calendar, I do set alarms to remind me to take breaks and to eat. If I don't set an alarm, I forget about lunch completely.
Whitney and I are both of these type A perfectionists, and it's so easy to get involved in what you're doing and your concentration level. It's funny, I don't know, time just disappears. I can look up at the clock and see that way too much time has passed. So that's a great tip for optimizing our energy, is reminding ourselves to take better care of ourselves. What are some other tips that you've discovered that helped you through the process?
Well, another thing is that when I would schedule appointments or tasks during the day, I would actually give myself kind of a buffer, you know, a cushion of at least 15 minutes either before or after each commitment so that I could do that regrouping, you know, regrouping physically, mentally, and emotionally before jumping into another task. And typically I would just take some quiet time for myself or, you know, do some breathing or get up and go for a 5-minute walk, anything, just so that I wasn't like, you know, okay, this phone call is done, wham, bam, right into the next one. You know what I mean? That can be so exhausting if you live your life that way. So giving yourself a break between appointments or between tasks is really a fabulous way to, you know, really help your body heal.
Yeah, I think that is, regardless of if you have a diagnosis or not, I think that's critical just for your mind to regroup. I know if I've got a series of clients back, I don't do them back to back, I do put time in between, I can't really change my mindset that fast. I mean, I have to sort of like decompress from that call, allow myself to get a drink of water, allow myself to then mentally prep for the next call. I think that's just sort of wise brain usage too.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
I tend to, if I jump from call to call, I tend to, they tend to meld together. And I'm like, was that this person or was that, you know, I don't know why that is for me, but they tend to meld together in my mind if I don't give myself that time to sort of sort it out, put it in memory, refresh myself and start over.
Yeah, no, and I find that I lose my groundedness when I do jump from one thing to the next like that. I feel like I need that time in between to really reground myself and kind of clear. It's almost like becoming a clean slate for the next task or the next appointment.
Absolutely. Now, some people might not be familiar. I'm hoping that if they've listened to the show before, they know what the word grounded is. But let's just talk for a minute about what are some of the little tricks that you use to reground yourself so people know what that word means.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the big ones for me is breathing.
Yeah, critical.
So just, you know, focusing on my breath. You know, breathing in slowly to the count of four through the nose and then doing the same, breathing back out. And I breathe into my diaphragm when I breathe in and then I push it out from my diaphragm when I breathe out. And I do that typically for a count of four. Unless I'm stressed, then I might do it longer.
Definitely. The exhale is where the body's relaxed. So sometimes I try to extend that even maybe a little bit longer than the inhale.
As a matter of fact, I think about breathing in peace and breathing out stress.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's another, it's like a little trick that I use with my breathing. And it's almost like a visualization on peace coming in and stress leaving.
I don't think we realize how often we hold our breath, especially throughout the day. There are times if I'm on a phone call, even if it's not confrontational, it's just a phone call, all of a sudden the idea will pop into my head, oh, breathe, Sharon. I think you were holding your breath during that part of the conversation, or you were listening so intently, you weren't breathing very deeply. I'm always surprised at how easy it is to fall into very shallow breathing.
Yes, yes. And breathing is great, like as we were just talking, for grounding. And yet there's also other things that you can use for grounding. It's funny, I use visualization a lot. But I will stand up at times, because it's always good to get up from sitting, like as we've talked about.
Yes.
And I will put my feet about hip width apart and flat on the ground. Barefoot is always best. But if you can't do that, then, you know, you do what you can do. And then I imagine roots, literally, you know, like being a tree, that roots are growing out of my feet into the ground in all directions and just literally just grounding me. You know, literally and figuratively grounding me.
Beautiful metaphor too. That's a great visualization. I can see it here, my feet. I'm sitting, of course, but as you were walking yourself through it there for us, I'm like, I started to feel it happen to my own feet. Wow, that happened so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one of the other things that I do for grounding.
Great. One of the things I like to do is, instead of the roots, I'm going to try that. It's a great metaphor. Is I visualize the energy from the earth coming up through my feet and in reinvigorating, you know, through my feet, then up through my legs and into my knees, and then my up through the hips, and feeling it just sort of come in, the energy coming up through me is another way I ground myself, is just to revitalize all of that feeling. And I think visualization is incredibly powerful for healing, and not just in these ways of grounding, but visualizing every cell. We had Sonia Barrett on, Dr. Sonia Barrett on, and she talked about the incredible secret life of cells. And we did a quick visualization on each and every cell feeling full of energy and optimized and brilliant and any number of things that would come to our mind, you know, magnificent, awesome, whatever we wanted to visualize ourselves doing. And I think it was maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And I was surprised at how quickly the body responds.
It responds incredibly quickly to visualization. Yeah, I do that. I do that several times a day. And that what you were talking about, feeling the energy coming up through the feet, I actually have done that one as well. That grounding practice as well. So yeah, it sort of depends on what comes to me at the moment.
That's great. I want to point out, yes, there are no rules. That's to me the critical thing. Like if you feel like growing roots today or this moment, or you feel like drawing the energy up, whatever comes to you, it's probably what your body's looking for at that moment. So you know, there are no rules. We're just throwing out tips and tricks that have worked for us. And we don't have to worry about rules of visualization. If that's the kind of place you like to do, thing you like to do, go for it. Gosh, Whitney, I've got it up against a hard break of another quick commercial break. Time flies when Whitney and I get together. Even if we're just having lunch, time flies. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Music.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Whitney Gordon Mead. She's a speaker, certified life coach, ordained minister. And I'm so thrilled she's on track to get her doctorate in metaphysics at the end of 2019. And she has spent over three decades experiencing and researching personal growth and how we heal from it within. And tonight we're talking about low energy, fatigue, burnout, those kinds of things that I think are often easily overlooked and sometimes even by health professionals a bit poo-pooed. Like, how many times did we have friends or family or even healthcare workers just get up and get at it or pull yourself up by your bootstraps or all these other crazy things that at the moment you're just like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So what are some other tips? You've been sharing some great tips. Let's delve into some more tips. And one of the things I'm curious about is anything that we haven't really touched on right yet that you've been just this burning urge to share?
Just going back on what you were talking about with the doctors, I was about to say, you know, if there are so many doctors out there nowadays that if you've got a doctor that is telling you, just pull it up, you know, like put on your big girl pants or whatever, you know, however they say it. And, you know, you don't have to stay with that doctor because there are a lot of good doctors out there. And I know because I had a doctor like that and I switched because I was like, you know, who are you? I want a doctor that has ideas for, you know, even alternative ideas for things that I can do that will help me. That's just something, you know, to consider if you're working with a doctor that you don't feel that they get you or you don't feel that they really, you know, are doing the best they can for you, and they don't have that compassion.
And I think a team is important. But just jumping on that a little bit, yes, I fired doctors, and actually a doctor fired me one time, but that was a great thing. At first, it was a little bit of a shock, but then I realized that was exactly what needed to happen. And so it's both okay. You'll live through being fired by a doctor, and you'll live through firing a doctor. And finding the right team. Oftentimes, for me, it's not just been one doctor. I have a team of different specialties that work together, and we're able to create a holistic plan instead of just a one specialty plan. Too often with autoimmune, you're sent to the rheumatologist, but they may not talk to the gastroenterologist or the dermatologist or the neurologist or whatever. And sometimes it can get quite scattered. So look for team players.
Right. And in conjunction with that, you know, you need to be a team player.
Yes.
You know, everybody needs to be their own biggest advocate. And that's why it's so important for you to optimize your energy, take care of yourself, look out for you. And I don't mean it in a selfish way. I mean it in a way that if you take care of yourself, then to the extent that you are able to heal, then you will then be able to take care of others. But if you're trying to give from, you know, from this empty vessel, then you've got nothing to give. If you are building yourself up, if you're taking that time to give yourself the self-care that you need, and you are optimizing your energy and you're looking after yourself, you will be able to fill that vessel. And then eventually that vessel will start overflowing. And when that vessel starts to overflow, that's when you can start giving back to others.
Mm. I love that. And I love you're talking also about the idea of knowing that you'll heal. Too often we get reports from various medical professionals, almost a pronouncement that this is now and forever when they give you a diagnosis. It's sort of like those commercials on television where for prescription drugs and afterwards they list all these horrible things and you're like, oh my goodness. But sometimes when you're given a diagnosis, you're given all these horrible prognosis. But having the belief and the resilience and the courage to know that your body's amazing and it can and will heal if given the right circumstances.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that, you know, it's interesting because that's sort of my motto, my thing that I tell people all the time is that self-love unlocks your power to heal. And your body has the ability to heal itself. So You know, I tell people that, you know, the number one mindset shift that's required to optimize your energy and to overcome that burned out feeling is that you are the one who has the power to change it. So it's not something that you have no control over. A lot of people think that they have no control over that. And I mean, I know I'm a perfect example. I was able to heal myself from fibromyalgia, from chronic fatigue, from burnout. So it is possible.
And taking the time to understand what your body needs and seeking out the right professionals that can educate you on those things. If you're like, I don't really know what my body needs at this point. But I also say sorting out, knowing it might be great advice, but maybe not for you at that moment, or maybe just not for you. So oftentimes I had to sort out advice when I'm like, I just don't think that's going to work right now. Thank you. But and being able to choose, because nobody knows your body. You're living in here 24/7. Nobody knows your body like you do and what you're going through. But I agree, the body can heal itself if given the right circumstances. And I don't want people to walk away from this conversation we're having. This is, Whitney and I are not blaming anybody for the current circumstances. Absolutely not. It's just the understanding you do have more control than a lot of times it feels like.
Right, exactly. No, there's no blame. I mean, I know there was a period of time when I was very angry at myself for getting sick, and I did blame myself. And blame is, it's not healthy. It's not healthy to blame yourself. It's not your fault that you're sick. And yet, at the same time, there are ways that you can heal. But you have to be willing to do the work.
That's true. We had a doctor on, over a year ago, who saw critically ill people in the pulmonology field, I believe it was. And one, he had an amazing statistic that a large percentage of his patients, then there's a difference, I'll define it in a minute, but he said a large percent of his patients never set the intention to get well. They come to him seeking to get well, but they never set an intention to get well. And he found that it was very difficult because he would give them some of his best advice and some of them wouldn't even try it, and others would try it for a little while and quit doing it or whatever. And I thought that was interesting. That's different than not having the intention to get well. It's different than setting an intention to get well. There are oftentimes people who have a secondary gain, just have no intention to getting well. We're not talking about that. But absolutely set your intention that I'm going to make this happen. My intention is to optimize my health. Set the groundwork for the body to be optimized in every way it can. And then I know this marvelous healing machine will heal itself if I give it the right environment.
Absolutely. Yes. And you're right. Setting the intention to heal, to do what it takes to heal.
To follow through. That's not always easy. Keep it up.
Right. And to be conscious about it, to be conscious, you know, make conscious decisions. You know, it's all about choice. So making conscious decisions, for example, on, you know, how many hours are you going to work each day if you're working? And then even setting an alarm to leave at a certain time so that you don't work overtime. You don't beat your body up that way. You know, you can set alarms for just about anything. Set an alarm to remind you to go to sleep early enough so that you can get a full night's sleep, whatever that might be for you, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours. So it's all about being conscious and making those choices to do the things that will optimize your energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's important to set the intention and stick with it. I was thinking not too long ago, I was at an event where there was so much great looking food, and it's not always easy. I had to keep reminding myself of my intention that if I strayed into these certain areas of food that I know cause inflammation in my body, that was going to set me back further than that momentary enjoyment of that amazing looking buffet table with many, many things that I shouldn't be indulging in. So it's not always easy. Sometimes here on the podcast, we just make it sound so simple. You just have to do this and this and this. But there are times that you'll have these discussions with yourself, like, what is the cost? And I'm always talking myself out of the idea of like, okay, if I indulge in that, which I know causes inflammation, I really don't want that cost of 2 or 3 days of inflammation in my body for that 2 minutes of enjoying that.
Well, yeah. And it's interesting to go along with, you know, making those choices with about your food. It's also making your choices as to how you spend your energy. So by not trying to do everything, by prioritizing how do you use your energy? How do you spend it? Much like you would prioritize how you would spend your money by making sure that you pay the most important bills first. I mean, that's what most people, I would recommend to my clients when I was a financial planner. And that seems to be the way a lot of people think. You know, you pay your rent and your mortgage first, your utilities, your food. Those are necessities. You get to pick and you get to choose the activities that you participate in much the same way. These are patterns that I've had to work through, the type A need to do everything, and not just do everything, but do everything now.
And very perfect or very well, do it very well. Wow. Well, Whitney, we're just about out of time. We're back just down to the last 3 minutes. Oh my goodness, this has been awesome talking about low energy, getting over fatigue and optimizing our body, getting over burnout. What would you like to share with the audience? How can they get a hold of you and learn more about your work?
You know, the biggest gift that I gave myself that made it possible to optimize my energy and recover from my burnout symptoms and even from my fibromyalgia, and to feel really hopeful and inspired again, was to take time every day to tune into myself. So I have a simple self-care practice that I'd like to share with everybody, the listeners. It may be a new practice for you to take time out just for you and to, you know, practice self-love and self-care. But remember, this is essential for our ultimate healing. So the simple self-care practice that I'm going to share with you will help you to increase mindfulness, your well-being, your self-confidence, and your personal power. But it'll also help cultivate a greater resilience to stress. And it'll help decrease stress and stress-related symptoms like that we spoke of earlier, frustration, mood swings, overwhelm, anxiety, depression, increased illness, even insomnia. So it's my honor to share this gift with you. And you can go to my site, which is www.whitneygordon-mead.com. And that's spelled whitneygordon-mead.com. And then sign up to get your copy of the downloadable step-by-step simple self-care practice. It is free and yet so valuable. So I really want you to have this, especially if you're struggling with low energy like I was. It's a resource that you can start to use immediately. Oh, and also when you sign up for this, you'll receive more resources to support you in cultivating self-love and avoiding or overcoming burnout or even just the symptoms of it.
Fantastic. And I know that little lovely gift is called From Burnout to Balance, a simple 10-minute daily self-care practice. And it's awesome. I've used it and it works wonderfully. And it's easy, which I like because it doesn't, you know. I'm like, okay, another thing to do. No, absolutely. Go get it, because it's not one of those things where you go, oh, another thing to do. It's very powerful. And I appreciate you spending the time with us this evening, Whitney, on sharing common sense ways to optimize our energy and how to overcome burnout, low energy, and fatigue, because that is so common. I know you overcame fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, but fatigue and low energy is so common in almost all the autoimmune conditions. Everyone, join me over at Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune or Autoimmune Hour. I have 2 pages over there at Facebook. You can find me on Instagram for the same places, Autoimmune Hour and Understanding Autoimmune on Instagram as well. Twitter is Autoimmune Hour. Join me, continue the conversation at any one of those community social media gathering sites, as well as you can find not only Whitney's episode in podcast and video cast, as well as all of the other 200 and some plus episodes over at understandingautoimmune.com. Everyone have a great weekend. Whatever your adventures, join me next Friday night for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.